Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go there to Hebrews chapter number 11, please, and verse number 1. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture today, Hebrews 11 and verse number 1. Before I read the passage of Scripture, I want to make a kind of introductory kind of statement. Let me read the verse and then make the statement. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. First thing I want to say, I want to dedicate this message today. Unusual for me. I'm going to dedicate it. I'll tell you who I'm dedicating it for. First of all, there's a family that I have been praying this morning for. They're not here today. They're going for a while. They're traveling, but they're watching today on live stream. I know they're having problems, not maritally, but they're struggling. They're having battles in their life. I want them to know that I'm dedicating this message to them. But that's not all. Also, I want you to know I'm dedicating this message to any person in this room that has a problem, has pressure, that you're even downright perplexed and you're confused and you don't know what direction to go. One part of you says, do that. Then another part says, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. And you're just struggling. I want to dedicate to the person, maybe your marriage is ready to go right down the bottom. I want to dedicate it to the person in this room that you've got disease in your body. I want to dedicate this message this morning for you that are looking for hope but you can't find it. I want to dedicate this message for you that maybe somebody let you down. I want to dedicate this message to you because you failed yourself and you feel like a failure. This is for you this morning. If you don't fit in those brackets, you will. There'll be a day you will. Now let me preach. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me explain this. That word substance is two words, sub and stance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What that means is we've got to hope for something, but faith gives us the evidence, even though we can't see it happening yet, though it may not have happened yet, we are believing it is going to happen. Now, number two, that word substance, sub, meaning lower, and stance, where you're standing. Listen, faith is what we're standing on. We're not standing on feelings. If you try to stand on feelings, you're done. You don't get saved by feelings. You don't get saved by emotion. You get saved in the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. You get saved because you trust Him. And the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I may just say it like this. Everything you are, everything that you have been, and everything you will be, all depends on faith. Faith in an unseen hand. Faith in one that said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Faith in a God that has all power, that is everywhere. A God that is able to do abundantly above what we're able to ask or think. Faith. I want to take you a journey on faith this morning. And I say that before I get done with this journey, you'll be in that you'll be in the group that's traveling with me. Oh, yeah. There's some of you right now that's desperate. There's some of you right now that you're feeling the weight of the world, the pressure of the world on you, and it almost has you sick. But I want you to know, there's a God Almighty that knows your name. A God Almighty that has not left you here to flounder. A God Almighty that has given you a vehicle to lift you higher. And that's faith. Let me give you four things. And hopefully it'll speak to your heart. Look in verse number 8. And we'll magnify one character and his wife today. I could magnify a bunch of people, but I'm only going to magnify one because that's all I can do. But I want to talk about Abraham. Once called Abram, when he left the land of the Chaldeans, he was named Abram. Then God named him Abraham. Boy, it's good when God puts a name on you. Amen. And I want you to notice verse number 8 first. The Bible says, for by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Let me give you this, number one. Faith is what we stand on when we don't know where. We don't know where the resource is going to come from to help us. We don't know where we're going to get the uplift from somebody else. We don't know where we're going to get the answer to our problem. We don't even know where life's going to end up for us. We don't even know where God has us going. He just said, go. When He saved me, He didn't give me the rest of my life. He just told me to follow Him. He didn't say, this is what's going to happen to you. By the way, if He had told me the things, some of the things that had to be in the ministry, I'd have went the other way. I'll just be honest with you. I'll just tell you like it is. I'll be honest with you. It would have striked me. It would have scared me. But I want to tell you something. Every place I went, everything I've done, a great God in heaven has been there and has helped me, and He'll be there for you. Woo! He said, what did I do? You obeyed God. He said, but I don't care. I can't. Yes, you can. It's not that you can't, you won't. You want to hold on to yourself. You want to manipulate it yourself. You want to figure it out yourself. And God said, no, you've got to trust me. Woo! Years ago, before they had GPSs, before I knew what email was, about 30-some years ago, I was invited by a preacher to preach in Work County, West Virginia. I'd never been to Work County. I've been to Pleasant County. I've been to Mineral County. I've been to a few counties, but Word I've never been. He'd give me directions. On to God, the only thing I knew that I really knew about his directions, because see, he didn't have no typewriter or computer, so he wrote them. Now, the only thing I recognize is you get off at Mineral Wells. After that, I was clueless. I did not know where I was going. I went up through there, and I stopped on the side of the road, and I said, oh, that looks like it. I took a road. I never forget, I got on that road. Drove about 8 miles. And I met this fella. And he said, I said, where is this church? And I said, Bible Baptist, where is it? He said, it's that way, about 10 miles. I said, you sure? That way, 10 miles. He didn't look like his elevator went all the way up. And I was starting to doubt it, okay? So I went to this other fella who was just up the road a little bit. It looked like he dressed well and he looked good. He said, no, it's up that way, 10 miles. So one fella, that way, 10 miles. The guy looked like he didn't know what he was talking about. He looked kind of shabby. He looked like he had a meal. So I thought, well, this guy, bad as he looks, he sure can't tell you where to go. This other guy looked good. And I took his advice. So I took off. I got got everything set. I went 1 mile. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I should have knew something was up. Because when I took his directions, I looked back through the mirror and he was gone. And when I got up 10 miles, I came to a mountain. The road was gone. No way. And I'm 10 miles out of the way. And I got the wrong direction. And I didn't know where in the world I was. So I took back over. And I went back down. And that guy was gone. But the shabby, long-haired guy didn't look like he had anything. I said, what's your name? He said, well, I'm preacher something. I said, oh, God, you tell me now. I said, where's this church? He said, well, I told you right a little while ago. Tim, I said, you did, didn't you? I went up through there. I give myself an hour and a half. Now, you got to understand, I'm back in an old air conditioner in my car. It was broke down. I had a three-piece suit on, maroon suit, never forget it. My vest was tight, and I was sweating already. And I used to have hair 30-some years ago, and it done raveled up all over my head. I was doing like I always do when I get nervous. And I got up there, and the preacher, any preacher, you're right on the buzzer. He was out on the stoop going. And I come up, and I pulled in. He didn't know he had ever met me before. And he said, you Preacher Smith? I said, yeah. He said, you look like a mess. Where you been in? I said, I've been driving to find this church. And he said, your hair's off. I said, well, and I pulled out my fork and cleaned it up. And I got it all straightened up. And he said, your tie's crooked. I said, help me a little bit. And he said, you're a mess. And our church is a mess. And you're coming to get us revival. I said, man, the only thing I know is I'm living by faith, and I made it 1 minute ahead of time. I want to tell you, faith will take you when you don't know where you're going. I got a God. Somebody help me preach right here. It looks like God's not there. It looks like there's no way that's God's trail. It looks like there's no way God would take me. Yet, that's God's way. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. God's in our direction. Well, glory. Number two, in Hebrews 11:9, are you there? Say amen. By faith, Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Faith is what we stand on when we don't know when. Can I ask a question here? You don't have to answer, but how many of y'all have a little difficult time with patience? Raise them up, you bunch of hypocritical liars. I know you do. We're like spoiled brats. I had a bunch of teenagers down there. They got more maturity than some of us. They went down there not knowing really where they were going. They did. They went down there not really knowing when they'll get back. And by the way, mothers and fathers, if they don't get back today, it's on Jared. Amen. He just went under the bus and 12 tires hit him. How many of you have been on your face begging God, begging Him, when's this going to happen? When? You said you'd take care of me. When? When's the bill going to be paid? When am I going to have enough money to go? Ray Humphrey, you're here. You remember when I preached for you at Heiser Creek? When I first started here. I didn't have anything. When I came down here, I took a half a salary cut. Couldn't afford to come when I came, Roger. You know that. But I came by faith. I was going to Race Church on Monday night. And I was looking for his boy here tonight. Today I don't see Denny down here, is he? Working. Denny was 19, I think. 18, 19. And I got there. I had 1/8 of a tank of gas. And not $1 out of pocket. And we didn't have a dollar left to payday. And there was $10 to payday. Or 10 days to payday. I didn't know I was going to get home. You said, why did you drive a car that didn't have any gas? That's all I had. And I promised Ray that I'd be there. And I just believe God sometimes somewhere would help me. I'll never forget, I preached that night. And Ray didn't pay me till Friday night at the end. Did the best they could. But Ray's boy, Denny, came up to me and handed me a little bit of money. It was enough to fill my gas tank up and buy a week's work of groceries and pay a meal. I'm telling you that faith is what we stand on when we don't know when. We should have heard that God will supply our needs. Why aren't they being met now? We've heard that God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But why do I feel like he's not on my left hand or my right hand or in the front of me like Job had or in my hand? I just feel like I've been forsaken. He said he'd do it. But when, God? When, God? I want to tell you I'm standing on something that will help you when God is ready. Glory. When is this going to end? When am I going to get out of this rut? When are my children are going to wake up and see that they need God? When are my grandchildren going to get right with God? When are my husband going to get right with God? When's my wife going to get right with God? When, God, when? Faith is what you stand on when you don't know when. Number 3. Look at verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. Amen. Faith is what we stand on. Listen, when we don't know how. The promise was she was going to have a baby. Now, I want you, you might say, well, preacher, does it mean I've got to have faith? I mean, I'm strong all the time. I've slipped up some. Will God forgive me and still bless me? Even when others don't? This seems impossible. Faith is what you stand on when you don't know how. Listen to this problem. He was 100 and she was 90. Her womb was dead. His seed was dead. But you know what he did? He went down Walmart, got him a baby crib. And he went down Walmart, got him a bunch of boys' clothes, though they didn't have the sonar, whatever you call them things, altar sales. They didn't have them back then. But God said he was going to have a male child to carry on the seed. Eventually, Jesus was come from that seed. I'm about ready to tell here. But he didn't know how it was going to happen. But he done prepared for it. He done painted that room blue. You don't paint no boys' room pink, women. Don't be a knucklehead, ladies. Blue for boys. Amen. Say amen. You men say amen. You said it can't happen. But I'll tell you what happened. It did happen. God quickened her womb and quickened Abraham's seed. And they, she started, I went over by Lindsay today. And where is she at? Hey, Lindsay. And I was wanting to see the baby, you know. I'm looking for a small basketball by now. She got a Nerf, little Nerf football so far. She's still wearing regular dress. Don't you hate women pregnant that can wear regular dresses for 9 months? My wife, when she got pregnant, ask her. She was 3 months pregnant, always wearing them things. I said, what are you wearing them for? She said, I'm pregnant. I said, but you don't look pregnant. Everybody in the world will think you're pregnant. She said, I am pregnant. Faith is when you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know where it's going to happen. But it's going to happen because God promised it to happen. Wow, glory. I'm preaching hard this morning, strong this morning, because them teenagers said if I didn't preach like I preached down there, they're going to be disappointed in me. So I don't want y'all to be disappointed. I'm preaching that. When you don't know how. How are we going to win more people? How are we going to go on forward? How are we going to keep on all these mission trips? How are we going to keep soul winning when everybody is not wanting to soul win? They went soul winning Thursday night. And I was told they went to high dollar subject. By the way, we just don't cherry pick soul winning. Amen. That's probably been done some in the past. It ain't done by that boy right there. He's the best I've ever had in soul winning. Best ever. They may not get anybody saved in Sleepy Hollow or anywhere else down in there, but they went down there. We don't have their blood on our hands. Five atheists. They met five atheists Thursday night. Said, we don't even believe there's a God, and you people out here walk around soul winning. By the way, they'll believe in God when they touch hell. They'll believe in God when they touch the fire. They'll believe in God and they'll hear their voice testimony one day. But I know these are hard times to build a church. I know there's a bunch of liberal knuckleheads that don't have church on Sunday night anymore. And don't any of you wise people think you're going to get that. Because it ain't happening as long as I'm preaching and breathing air. You need preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And amen. If people don't want to come to hear it, you come anyhow. I don't know what these youngins going to do. But I'm going to tell you one thing, buddy. If one of y'all get to take over one of these 10, 15 years on, don't y'all think I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, if you ever start something like that, I'm going to get out of heaven. I'm going to say, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of new Bibles. I'm sick of new ways. There's one way, one Bible, one blood, one way, one church. Now, somebody help me. Faith is when we don't know how. I want to tell you what.
Somebody asked me, how did you get a congregation of over 1,000? Don't have a clue. I'm just a one talent guy. I'll tell you what I do. Living by faith in Jesus above. Woo! If Lester can sing it, I can sing it. He can sing any better than I can. Faith is when you don't know how. Last thing I'm telling. This right here may be the best part of the message, and I'm leaving it for last. Verse 17. Listen, what was the promise? Let me ask you, what was the promise, church? A seed. A boy. And by the way, he had that boy. His name was Isaac. Am I right? Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You said, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. In his mind, he had already offered up Isaac when God told him to go to Mount Moriah. And then God said up there, God, he told Isaac, God shall provide himself a lamb, me. God is going to provide a Savior. But in Abraham's mind, you read the book of Hebrews and the epistles. Isaac died and was buried and rose again. And you know what the Bible said about Abraham? The gospel was preached to him. You said, how? By the death, burial, and resurrection of Isaac from the grave. Somebody help me. He offered up his only begotten son. You said, well, that's a lie. Abraham had a son by works. Ishmael, that's the people giving all the trouble. That's the people that's shooting those missiles over to Israel today. Everybody wants to blame Israel. They're not to blame. The Israelites are to blame. They're a terrorist organization. They hate God. Hate your God. Faith is what we stand on when we don't know why. We don't know why death came to our loved ones. We don't know why when you really felt like your marriage was going to be something when you first got married, why it ended up in divorce. You don't know why your kids didn't stick to what you taught them. And they're out doing things so terrible. You don't know why your friends, people that you counted on the most, turned their back on you. You don't know why you're having such a financial problem. You don't know why you're sick. You've got a disease that'll never, unless God supernaturally touches it, you are not going to be healed from it. You don't know why you're being persecuted. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. Lost people don't give me much trouble. Only the trouble they give me, they talk about saved people that are hypocrites. I'll tell you who's gave me the trouble over 36 years in church. It ain't lost people. But the so-called Christians who think they can write letters, who think they can destroy, try to destroy your character, who think they can do anything and everything when them themselves are hypocrites. They don't care to destroy a church or a preacher. All they care about is their little wheel and their little agenda and what they feel like doing. But I want you to know, you may be a family that you're being abused and persecuted by some holier now. Heathen, you stand up for God. Because faith don't take you when you don't know where and why. Why am I going through this? I love God. I love preaching. I love people. I try to do my best. But why is it folks are getting it?
Well, I know. Because the Bible said they hated him without a cause. I want to tell you, I ain't perfect. And ain't none of you perfect. Ain't none of you. But I'll tell you what I am. I'm forgiven. And I'm on a journey living by faith. Faith when I don't know where. Faith when I don't know when. Faith when I don't know how. And faith when I don't know why. Bow your heads with me.